study lounge downstairs. It's not really. I mean, it's a shabby place. That is another problem, having to do with architecture, really. Students have, one of the real paradoxes of Stony Brook is that the student has difficulty finding has difficulty finding private place and social space, places to congregate with others and places to be really alone. They have to resort to the stacks virtually to find quiet. I don't know. Perhaps I'm just being. I feel that I'm being terribly. Negative.
What has been the criticism of the union, student union, that you've heard?
Well, actually, what is
it? It was supposedly built.
Yeah.
For an institution of around 3,000.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I actually don't know what students said. I can only speak in my own view of the union, and I see it as a place that began to deteriorate almost as soon as it was constructed. I find the rooms really almost aesthetically repellent. The sort of furniture is not pleasant. They aren't really agreeable spaces. That's too vague, but. And also the central hall almost immediately began to look like a kind of, Moroccan souk with everybody hanging his wares out.
I have to say, I have a feeling in recent years that there's been more of an effort to attend to their needs, and paradoxically, it doesn't seem to
work. I think that the students having spoken to me about such things, I think it may be one of the reasons why undergraduate enrollment has dropped so dramatically in recent years. I'm sure there are many factors responsible for that. But I think the reputation has spread that Stony Brook is not a very agreeable place in which to live for the graduates.
What can be done about it? I think one of the reasons that we have had difficulty keeping up the quality of students is that students very often want to go away from home.
Well, that's true, but that was the case 20 years ago. When we didn't have an enrollment problem. I think that there has been a sort of deterioration. I mean, part of it obviously is financial. We don't have the money to take care of things. It just sort of looks pretty dirty.
Well, we're educating other people's children, and some of them are in house programs.
That's right.
That's true.
Absolutely true.
And it's a difficult job for an institution to correct that.
Yeah.
I think they've done a lot. I mean, like putting the cafeteria in the humanities building, obviously a very nice place for the, it's not fabulous, but it's a pleasant place for really young people. In Harriman College. And I think there have been efforts to the flowers on the campus. I mean, because we really were living in a construction site for so many years, and maybe it just had to be that way. I remember Bob Payton came in here. Do you remember him? Bob was president of, I guess, the CW Post at that point, and then
before
went to
Exxon.
And I remember him saying, my God, they're building a whole university in 3 or 4 years. And, you know, it took 8 centuries for Oxford to put into place. And, sort of astonished at the nerve of it, and yet at the same time admiring the tremendous vision. But nothing moved gracefully by accretion.
I have a son who's an associate professor at Albany.
Oh.
And there they took over a golf course and built the entire campus while they were keeping school in the old buildings down near the center of town.
Oh.
They didn't have to run the college on the construction site.
That's
interesting.
They were crowded, but they didn't have to run the college on a construction site.
Yeah.
No, we had. We had to do that.
I can say negative. I feel I feel compelled to say at least one positive thing about Stony Brook, and that is the growth of the library, which has considerable difficulties and financial difficulties, and would like to do more than it can. But I really think, certainly in our field, and I'm sure it's true in many others, it has become an extremely good research library, beginning with, it's very modest, in 65, it is an absolute delight to be able to have this magnificent collection, and the resources to get books from elsewhere. I mean, it's a number then through thanks in some part to absolutely first-rate people. Who in collection development?
Vasco.
Yes. Vasco was an invaluable member of the staff.
Right.
And
Hélène Bonachapiro. Yeah.
Yes, I remember getting an offer once from a school that was 20 miles closer to New York and thinking about their pitiful little library in this library, and that was.
It was Marymount.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
that was
what kept me here, was this library, and especially the 18th century collection.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Well, and also the departments do have a hand in building up the library.
That's right. That's right.
And
we were especially lucky, especially in 18th century studies. I'm not sure what it was. Was it as early as the 60s or was it the 70s already when we acquired an entire library?
There were two collections valued more than $75,000 each that were bought just out of hand in the early 60s, and they were in the 18th century book.
Yes, just bought in total, including a first edition of Diderot's encyclopedia, and just sort of transported here. For what would now seem a derisory sum of $75,000 and get your whole luxury.
Not today, but realize what that meant.
It was a staggering coup.
Yeah.
You know.
And how was Roscoe Rouse the head of the library then?
I don't remember him.
He was librarian, chief librarian.
I don't remember.
People of Rouse. The person who's, Bernard Vasco, with whom I've worked and who many of you are aware of, and in recent years, Hélène Bonachapiro. Yeah, so there's been that.
Do you have Vasco's address? Do you know where he's living now?
I don't have his address, but Hélène downstairs in the collection development does. He drops in from time to time. I saw him a couple of weeks ago. He's downstairs.
Well, if he does, tell him I'd like to talk to him.
Okay.
I'd like to get him on too.
Well, I don't think the department has his number, but if you want to drop down to the first floor in collection development, Hélène Bonachapiro.
You want to spell that name?
Yeah, sure.
Her name.
Yes, of course.
Elaine?
Yeah. Elaine Vola. That's her French name, her maiden name, Vola. And she's married to, she's hyphenated it. She's married to the man in Shapiro. I better write collection development.
I'd also say that Elaine was one of our graduate students, and that the graduate students that come through this department have been a wonderful lot of people.
Yeah.
And that quality is, if anything, is improving, I think.
Yeah.
That's been a very positive tonight.
Well, now, when did you get the green light on graduate work? How soon?
Well, we've had a kind of checkered history. The MA, I can't remember, it was quite early. I know that we already had an MA. We were offering an MA before 1970.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't remember when we got it.
I don't either. It was probably the late 60s.
Okay.
How did you go about applying for it?
I don't know. I really had very little to do with that. I was...
We were pretty junior at that time.
We were very junior. We didn't...
Was it Oscars? Oscar?
It would have to have been Oscar Hart.
I see.
I was promoted to associate in 68, and then in the early 70s, I was... the new chairman, Mark Whitney, asked me to direct graduate studies and draft a PhD, a proposal for a PhD program, which I did, and nothing ever, the austerity set in at that time. We never got the PhD program, and it's taken all these years for us to draft another one. We have one that's now in Albany, being considered.
You have a master's degree.
Yes, we've had a master's degree program continuously.
And we have a DA program, which is the Doctor of Teaching Arts, and many of our students have gone on and gotten that degree because they couldn't get a PhD, and it offers many advantages, although not all. So we have had an effective terminal degree too.
I see. Well, now would German and Slavic also have that kind of a degree?
Yes, that DA is for all languages. And that's been run for many years by Joe Tersey, who will be leaving, I believe, retiring at the end of this year. So someone's going to have to step in and take that very important position.
How do you spell that name?
Tersey, T-U-R-S-I.
Okay, what do you want to do?
That too is an interesting facet of this department. When I guess by 63, I don't know how many of us there were in French, maybe 15 or so. There was one person in Italian, Joe Twisty. Now there are we're Department of French and Italian, half French, half Italian.
Smaller than it was. We're smaller in number than we used to be.
But we don't have Spanish anymore.
We don't have Spanish. And there are just about as many people in Italian as in French.
T-U-R-S-I.
T-U-R-S-I.
Joseph. And he is head or chairman?
Well, he was chairman for
9 years.
Many years,
yeah. I see.
He was chairman for 9 years until 3 years ago, in fact.
Oh, no, it's been more than that,
hasn't it?
Good Lord.
He was chairman until 3 years ago, and for 9 years.
And he's director of the DA program, and really has been the most successful proponent of Italian education, Italian language and literature education in America, really. He's one of the great...
He's one of the big names in Italian language teaching in the United States, and did a great deal to build up the Italian wing of the department.
Yeah.
And it's now an important program.
One of the most important.
It wasn't for many years.
Mm-hmm. And that has national importance.
Yeah.
A lot of it's all Joe.
Now, is his office here in the library?
Yes, it's over in, it's located in Conflict. You have to ask him about.
Wait a minute, he's right, he's, isn't he often to be found? Yes, that's true, he has an office in Conflict. And he's often to be found, you know, where Mario's office, where the, Itaca, Foro Metallica.
I think that's an office there, isn't it?
No, but he's often there. But his office is true, he's in Conflict.
And you must ask him about Joe Torsi Day being declared in Suffolk County.
Oh, really?
Yep. He's very modest, he won't tell you about that in his writing.
Well, all right. Well, now,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I've got to.
Time to go.
It's,
have we talked? Did you have any connections with Albany? Did you have any responsibilities in a statewide faculty, or did you know any individuals in the central office?
Well, I was on the committee for resources allocation and budget for 2 years, and I went to Albany with the president and Homer Neal and Carl Haynes for the budget hearings.
Budget hearings.
And was with them when the DOB came down here for budget. That was illuminating, I must say.
DOB.
The director of the budget.
Director of the budget.
That was illuminating in a sad way, because in Albany, we had, you know, this immense budget prepared, as you know what that was like. And we had one morning, and the realization that all, how many campuses are there altogether of state university?
63, 5.
Okay, so each one had half a day, and this little group of budget examiners was listening to 62 other presentations. And Jack Marburger had a tie that said study book, to try to get that name into their heads, and that's really an extremely difficult way to run a university. Very, very hard to do budgeting in a sensible way, with having to sell it to these people in 3 hours. It's terrible. I hope that the flexibility has improved that, although it doesn't seem to have improved it that much.
Mm. All right. Anything else?
I can, we could go on for hours and get into the anecdotal material.
Yes.
But I think I'd just as well skip that.
Well, why don't you leave Stony Brook?
Why don't I leave? Why don't you leave Stony Brook? Oh, you mean for other universities?
Go somewhere else.
But for myself, I'm in middle age, mm-hmm. and I'm really sort of anchored in my present life. Mm-hmm. I've established a reasonable life, and don't really want to uproot myself and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I also find the department more congenial now than I have in its entire history. I like most of my colleagues. I find it an extremely pleasant place to be. I wish that certain things, as you know from my critical discourse, were different, that there was more money available for all sorts of things, and that the students were better. Unfortunately, they seem to be getting worse because the standards have been, admission standards have been lower. But on the whole, I'm not unhappy.
Good.
That's why I'm not leaving.
Yes.
I'm happy too, but I just might leave.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.